Welcome to the Bugcast episode 74 with guest me.
Thank you. What a song. Had this on my playlist for at least, I don't know, 15 months now. That was Enigma and Mea Culpa, the Fading Shades mix. And my lovely wife is now going to tell you a little bit of gubbins about them.
Thank you, dear. Enigma's been going since 1990, and they are still going today. Though, out of the original lineup, only Michael Cretu is still part of the band. As Dave said, that was Mea Culpa, and it was released in 1991. And it was the Fading Shades mix, but there was also an Orthodox mix and a Catholic mix. And it came from their album MCMXCAD, which Dave says is 1990. There you go.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Good evening, everybody. It is, hang on, where's my clock gone? There, Friday the 4th of September, and it's about 25 past nine, and you are listening to the Bugcast episode number 74. Thanks very much indeed for coming along. Thanks to the guys from the Dumb Down Life for the use of their Shoutcast server to allow the people that are in the chat room at the moment to be able to listen to us live.
No.
Just as a very brief insight, something I want to talk about later on, had some feedback from one of my colleagues from the Association of Music Podcasting with regard to the chat room, and it seems as though I don't make it clear what the chat room is or what the chat room is for. So for those of you that are listening on the podcast version, this show is broadcast live at the point that it is recorded, roughly after 9 o'clock on a Friday evening. And if you pop along to thebugcast.org/live at about 9 o'clock on Friday evening, you can actually join in with a lot of other people who, a lot of other people? I don't know, 10 people in there at the moment?
Including me.
Including you, of course, yes. Who is the most important person. And actually join in and listen to the show live with other people as they're listening to it as well. And you're
and
always welcome.
And try and put you off as well.
No, that's your job. I thought I'd mention that. Just a very quick roll call to everybody who's in the chat room, please.
Oh, Phil from work, which is Dave's work, not my work.
We need to work on the whole Dave thing, don't we?
Someone whose name I can't read because it's in a funny colour. Hold on. Darren. Lisa. Lance. Ian. Me. Katie. Nick. And Dale.
I think that's Dale, yes.
Yes. Sorry, there's just like a colour on there that is just so ridiculous.
Is it like the really like gold, yellowy, mustardy colour thing?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I'm familiar with that one. Fantastic. Right, the most important item on the agenda today is to discuss the new kit that has arrived.
It's right in front of my eyes.
It's right in front of your face. You've got the red light shining in your face. The new podcasting kit has arrived. We're now using it. This is actually the third outing of its use. I did a radio show type thing for a wedding anniversary that are you going to put that on?
Keep going.
Yeah, go on then. For a wedding anniversary that a friend of ours had, which apparently went down rather well. And also Caroline and I did a little bit of a half hour chatty thing earlier on. Was it yesterday? Day before?
Wednesday
evening.
Wednesday evening.
To just just chew the fat, shall we say.
Dave likes that phrase. He said it about 20 times tonight.
Yes, maybe some relevance later on. And I'm enjoying it. It's good fun. It's good quality. I've had some good feedback on the vocal quality. Let me know what you think if you think otherwise. Just an update also in my work situation. We're now at our new office in the city centre of Nottingham, which is absolutely fantastic. Spent a week there now, and this weekend the rest of the crew from elsewhere in the business are going to come and join us, so it's going to be good. Now, Caroline and I have just come back, and the kids, of course, have just come back off our holiday.
Yeah, we
to
didn't
Scotland.
Leave them there, you know.
We didn't leave them there. We didn't leave them behind here either. Had an awesome holiday in Scotland. We went up to stay at a hotel in a place called Newhouse, which is not far from the M8 near Glasgow. And
yes, we ended up in Glasgow, didn't we, dear?
We did end up in Glasgow. The idea was, where have we been? Oh, we've been to the Soft Play thingy, the
Adventure Planet
in wherever it was.
Cumbernauld.
Yes.
Cumbernauld. You don't quite say Nauld.
Yeah.
That's what Southerners do.
In Scotland, you don't say that. Duh. I thought, okay, well, because we're right on the M8 at the hotel, then we'll jump on is it the M7? It wasn't the M74, was it? It was a motorway that said M8 Glasgow. So I thought, okay, we'll jump on that. And this road took us directly into the centre of Glasgow.
I'd like to point out that I did say we're going a bit too close to Glasgow here, and my husband said, no, no, we're not.
Yeah.
Until we ended up in Glasgow.
Yeah. We got to where we wanted to get to.
After going around Glasgow, back out, Dublin back, and going the opposite way. But yes, we got there eventually.
It was a good drive.
Really and all was. That for a McDonald's.
For a McDonald's. Absolute class. The purpose of going up there predominantly was to visit some family, some of Caroline's family, who hadn't met our children. And bearing in mind that Amy is coming up for 4 years old, means it had been at least 5 years since we saw them.
Yes. And they did get to see lots of children. They saw their great-granddad, Danny, their great-grandma, Greta, their great-great-aunts, Rose and Margaret, their great-great-uncle, Brian, their great-uncle, Graham, because he'd be the next level down.
I suppose so, yes.
And their uncle and aunts and cousins. So yes, it was really good.
And we
met up with a few Live Journal people, including Blotted Copybook, Bonnie,
yep.
Shazzles, Classy Bird...
Catwoman
on the way back from Gretna on the nice long journey home.
Oh, my goodness me. It took us near on 9 hours to get from Newhouse in Lanarkshire to home. It should take us no more than about 4 hours. But when you've got kids in the car, you can pretty much add at least another couple of hours onto that. And
then when... people decide to crash on a road and close it.
And close the road, yeah. Quite a major road as well, the A66.
And the rain decided to be so strong that we couldn't see.
Yep.
Yes, nice journey home.
Didn't get home until, was it gone nine?
No, gone eight.
Gone eight.
But I have to say, we got home safely. And getting home and reading all the accidents that had happened, we were good that we got home safely.
We did very well.
I have to say, though, I know it's just a little bit off topic, but there was one particular crash... and a man got knocked into, and his car was on its side. And police have tracked it and seen eyewitness reports where he'd put his car back on the right way and carried on. And then 20 miles down the road, got hit by another car and died.
Yes. That's what you call severe bad luck.
I think it's a bit beyond bad luck, dear.
You know what I mean. I appreciate that it is a little bit more than bad luck. Big Brother's finished. Have they announced the winner?
No. Third place was David.
Oh,
so
right.
It's been now between Sia Vash and Sophie.
Right.
And given the two, I would prefer Sophie
to win,
two,
yes, definitely. Okie dokie. We're going to go on to some music now. And
is it
go
me?
On. Yeah, go on. You do it.
Right, this is Acoustic Jim, Hand in Mine. Acoustic Jim is Jim Hustwit, and he's from Leeds, so he's rather local to us. Hand in Mind is from his debut EP, Life 2.0, but the O is OH. And if you like this track, please check out his Facebook page, which is facebook.com/acoustic-jim, because he's got a video on there where he does an acoustic reggae version of Eagle Eye Cherry's Save Tonight, which I think is actually quite well worth a listen.
Together they twist and turn and play. They know not the consequence of their game. Mammals will often take the route they leave. This helpless heart's and feeling it swells and sways. My spirit a child that never takes heed. Experience dismissed and laughed away. And as long I have you, your hand in mine, forever in my heart, where the summer shines. after sun consumes cloud. Happiness dissolves as snow turns to slush. A pleasant breeze pretends a smile behind the shroud. The scent of spring turns a frosty frown to a blush. How fickle will my potent mind remain? It can't be parried winds we thrust. How long will weather's blot leave a stain? Oh, these are my emotions I should never trust.
The Bugcast, with no bugs in it and a cast of one. Was ever a podcast more wrongly named?
Was the Idolins Choices. Idolins are another UK band. Dave's doing well tonight. This time they're hailing from Nottingham, which is also quite close to us, but the other way.
And we're at work, yes.
They're a female duo, Karen Smalley Turner and Claudine West. They play acoustic folk pop. They met us an open mic, Mike, in Nottingham.
An open mic, Mike?
An open mic night, and then formed the group together. The name Eidolins, which is quite unusual, means strings a sound of the soul. There you go. And Claudine West also has a solo project with a fantastic name.
I love this.
Bog Whoppet.
Bog Whoppet.
I couldn't quite find out what Bog Whoppet meant, but apparently she's been doing Bog Whoppet for quite a long time. So there you go.
Does it matter what it means? It's a great cracking
name. It's just
name.
A fantastic name. It's... And then actually it kind of goes on our theme because we've been talking about Whatsits tonight and it kind of sounds like Whatsits.
Bog Whatsits.
Well, no, Bog Whoppet, but it just reminded me of the Whatsits that are in the kitchen that I'm about to go and get.
Well, do you want to go and do that now then? And I'll waffle for a bit.
There you go.
last week, Darren's short number three was to do with computer games. And the question he asked was, what was your favourite computer game? Now, we had a little monologue about this last week. And I have had two pieces of feedback regarding this. The first one is from John the Nice Guy. And he said, I had a BBC Model B for a very long time and I spent a lot of time playing Elite. But the game which really got under my skin and I've been looking for on and off for a few years was Imogen. And I finally found that for Windows. Woohoo, he says. It had wacky level names like Duck Egg Blues or Hamster Jam. And I remember playing it for hours and hours on a mate's computer as he wouldn't let me borrow the disc. Anyway, another excellent short. Thank you, Darren, and thanks, Dave. Thank you, John. Yes, I remember Elite. I remember not understanding it for quite some time. And then suddenly understanding it and really enjoying it. And then we didn't have BBC computers anymore, which was quite daft. I don't remember Imogen. Certainly never heard of that one. But I do remember other similar games that did the whole quirky level name thing. So, yeah, thanks for the email there, John. Very good to hear your views. We also had an email from Leonie regarding this this line of thought. And she says, I've given this a lot of thought, and it turns out my favourite computer game of all time is a little thing called Atoms, which we used to play on the Amiga. It was like a board game, really. Each player in turn places a coloured blob on the board in one of the squares, and the object is to push your opponent off the board by eliminating all their blobs with chain reactions when the blobs multiply. Huge fun in four-player mode, apparently. You also mentioned Chucky Egg, and I have a friend who is a huge BBC enthusiast and runs a Chucky Egg resource website, and I'll put the Chucky Egg, yeah, I'll put the link to that in the show notes. Sorry, Pepsi Max has just arrived. Thank you very much. And yogurt. Muller, vanilla... Yes, I will do. Vanilla yogurt, Muller Light, with dark chocolate pieces in. Nom, nom, nom. And I've been asked to mention what the dinner is that's just arrived. Caroline went out during the last pair of songs and fashioned up, off the basis of a packet of Whatsits, cherry tomatoes, chopped pepper, baby leaf, cottage cheese and pepper on top. Yum, yum. Sorry, nom nom, I think is the phrase you should be using.
And fantastic thinking on my part.
And fantastic thinking on your part at very short notice, which you're quite good at doing that, actually.
I'm just trying to move away from the mic so you don't hear me crunch, crunch, crunch.
Yeah, I think we might hear it from over the road. So, yeah, thank you, Leonie. Atom, I've not heard of Atoms, but I've heard some very similar kind of... put something on the board, wait for the chain reaction and see who comes out worst games. And Chucky Egg, I'm sure I remember playing Chucky Egg on the Beeb. But
it was on the Speccy, wasn't it?
It was on a lot of platforms.
And I think it was on the Amstrad as well.
Mm.
Sorry.
No, that's fine. I going back to the Spectrum, because I had a Spectrum for many years, and I had built up quite a phenomenal library of games. The first game I ever got with my Spectrum was a game called Transversion, and what you had is like a big grid, and your ship travelled on this grid on the lines. But you had little things along the edge that were trying to shoot you down. Very much like Space Invaders, but in two dimensions rather than just the one. But in addition to that, you had to remove the pods that were on the board, like by driving over or flying over them. Kind of, again, introducing Pac-Man into the equation. Awesome game. Worked on the 16K Spectrum, which not many games did. And I played that for absolutely ages.
I used to play one called Freddy Hardy, I think it was. And it was just like an adventure thing, but he had like this superhero-y type look with a huge chin. Think Desperate Dan, but without the stubble. That used to be fantastic.
Yes. Just trying to think of, there was another game, the second game I ever got on the Speccy, which was a another 16K game. Jungle Trouble, that was it. You had to, you had like a little stick man, and it was a stick man. And you had to, it was platform, you had to get him from the bottom right to the top left. And you started by swinging on ropes, which were impossible to get hold of. Then you had to go along a like an assault course, and then go up to the top, and you had to grab something on the way, and then this little monkey would come along and nick it from you. And you had to go back to the start and do it all again.
Hmm. I do remember writing a, I think it was like 1,300 lines of code to make a simple blackjack game.
I saw your fruit machine.
Oh, that was VB.
All right.
That was with help from one of my uni friends, but my VB game was a fruit game, but you could never lose. Because you literally just pressed the thing again and it carried on. The cumulative score never recessed itself.
Oh, excellent. That sounds like fun. Be nice that to have that kind of thing in a real arcade.
Oh, yes. With real money.
With real money. Yeah, not just tuppences. We're talking like pound coins. That'd be really good. But answering I kind of answered the question last week, didn't I? I mentioned about Duke Nukem. And Mark Marshall also came along and said about Duke Nukem being one of the games that he remembers. But we didn't really get, apart from the Chucky Egg, any your opinion on this. What was your real favourite? If you had to put every game you ever had and ever played on any platform, what was the most, the best one for you?
For me, Zombies Ate My Neighbours on the SNES. I loved that game. I still have it. I still have the SNES, not really played it for a while.
Hmm.
That was a fantastic game. You were kind of a twosome. There's like a boy and a girl. You could choose which character. And literally the everywhere else was zombies, including malls and houses and things. And you had to go through all the different levels.
Hmm. Oh, right.
There you go.
Just the whole games thing. Very diverse.
I'm much more of a gamer than you.
I enjoy games that have... No, that phrase is really going to cause some controversy. I like strategy games. I like games that you have to stop and think about, not necessarily ones where you get from A to B and you got to shoot people and you got to collect all the power ups and stuff like that. That doesn't appeal to me at all.
I like games where you can explore, as in you know what your mission is, as it were.
Yeah.
But there's things that'll happen if you explore and press a thing and see what happens if you press that button. Things happen. My dad can take a game and he will follow it religiously, step by step, till he completes it. And I could never do that because I didn't have the patience.
No.
I didn't want to do what I knew I had to do. I wanted to go and see what else I could do and if I could break things or find secret levels.
Yeah, but your dad is more stubborn in the way he does things, in that he'll play the same game again and again and again to get past points that he gets stuck at, to the point where he could actually complete levels with his eyes closed.
Exactly.
Hmm.
Hello, Dad, just in case you listen to this randomly.
Highly unlikely. They don't even have the internet. They don't even have a computer.
They have us.
Yeah.
My dad used to be able to play on a computer. He played Doom.
Yeah, on your computer before
you
moved out.
He could switch on, go to start, go to programs and find Doom. Couldn't do anything else, but he could do that.
Class. Right, okay. I think, before we move on to our next music, want to... throw an idea at you. This wasn't actually in the plan. An idea that I had. Now, I hinted earlier on that I've had a couple of conversations with some fellow AMP members, and I've asked a number of them to review this podcast, to have a look at it and critique it from a new listener viewpoint. And I'm starting to get feedback from the guys, which is fantastic. And they've been very honest, open and honest with me. And one of the things that one of them mentioned was the music talk balance. Now, those of you that have listened to the show for quite some time will certainly appreciate the battle that I've had trying to maintain the talk music balance.
Yeah, because Dave can talk a bit.
Yeah. Well, looking at last week's 65 minute show, and I talked for 40 of it.
Last week's, the week's before.
And there were only 25 minutes worth of music. That's like 60 something percent talk, which isn't really where I wanted this show to go. Particularly in the last year or so when this has become more focused on the music. So an idea that Caroline and I had between us, particularly following the chat that we had on Wednesday, which we did post on our live journals, and I think you can also get to it through Facebook if you friend either of us on Facebook is what I meant, is to turn the Bugcast into a music show. And not so much take the chat out, but to take out the discussions. So the bit we're talking about just now about computer games, take that out completely. So it'll be more a 75-25 music talk split. And then bring out another podcast, which is just me and Caroline talking and discussing stuff. Now,
bit more planned than that randomness on the Wednesday night, though.
Yeah,
planned as such, but have the topics ready and then see how we go from there.
Exactly. Let the talk decide where it goes, but have a starting point, and also have like basic rules of how long it's going to take to do it. And
you could also invite people to suggest themes and discussion points.
Yeah, exactly. And even to the point of inviting other people in to join the conversations.
Ooh.
Pull people in on Skype, for example, when I can get Skype working on.
Oh, like not. I was thinking of Billy Zane and all that kind of thing.
If you can get Billy Zane to agree to join us for a conversation, then he's more than welcome to join.
Mm-hmm. I'd much rather do more than a conversation.
Okay, moving swiftly onwards. I mean, I've got a lot of other ideas that are written down in my head, which are more to do with details. But I'd like to know what you guys think. I know that some of you have expressed in the past that you listen to the song to the show for the music, and others of you have expressed that you listen to the show for the talk. So hopefully, by doing this, we'll address both sides of it. Anywho, it's time for some more music. Yes, it is.
Yay. So, yay. I had a bit of lettuce leaves in the back of my throat.
Thanks for the detail. This next song, which is the comedy song, mm-hmm. is by a chap called Jim Tur, and it's called Do They Have Email in Heaven?
And Jim Tur is a bluegrass singer and satiricist. Did I say it right?
You did. That's an awesome word, isn't it? Satiricist.
He's based in Santa Fe, New Mexico. He's under the Blue Canyon Productions label. And this particular song reached number one on the PodSafe Comedy Countdown, which is a list of 225 songs, which is pretty good.
Not bad.
Well, I just got offline and I'm feeling so fine. I must have had 30 or more. Emails from friends, Lord, where will it end? So much love from these folks I adore. Well, to be totally frank, a few were from banks offering great mortgage deals. And three, maybe four, were a little hardcore with a chance to enhance my appeal. But even with a little spam, I thank God every day for this way to keep in touch with friends with so many things to say. Little known facts about unnatural acts, so much I never did know. Do they have email in heaven? If not, I don't want to go. Email me some love now. Now tell me the truth, is anything so uncouth? Could a person be more of a mess than to chatter and such and say stay in touch, but don't have an email address?
Yes, more.
Now God clearly meant that an email be sent anytime that you have a thought. And if your inbox ain't scoured 5 or 6 times an hour, then you ain't doing all that you ought. How could I ever stay in touch without my ISP? To let my friends know I'm alive and to find out who loves me. I plumb forgot how to use the phone, and the mail is way too slow. Do they have email in heaven? If not, I don't want to go. No, if I can't log on at saintpedro.com, then I'm not sure that I want to go.
The Bugcast, making you spill Vimto on your keyboard since 2008.
And Shake Shake. Terrio was born in Costa Rica to Cuban parents, raised in Washington DC, and he's now based in Miami, Florida. He does lounge Latin French pop. People might have picked up that had quite a classic feel to it. He, alongside a friend who does his compositions called Chris Rodriguez, intentionally try and give it a 50s style, but they put some modern edgy beats in there to make it remind you that it's a modern song.
It sounded great from what I heard. It sounded like something else I'd heard before, but I couldn't quite place it.
Yeah, it's got that.
It's like the Latin song from The Mask.
I was about to say, it's the kind of song you'd expect to see in a film.
Yeah.
Not to see in a film, to hear in a film.
To hear in a film. I think we know what you meant.
Yes. Oh, excellent.
No, good songs. I'm quite chuffed with the music choices this week.
I have to say, it makes quite a change. Sorry. That you actually had a couple of British songs, because a lot of your songs are not intentional, but a lot of the songs you do are American.
Absolutely.
But it's nice to have a couple of homegrown songs, especially local northern ones.
I need to start making a note of these as well, because I'm well behind on doing contributions for the Made in the UK show, which the songs have to be from artists that are based in the UK. So I will certainly consider at least one of those to play in that one. Right, okay, we're going to go on to some feedback now. We've had two bits of feedback this week. We've had an email from Leonie. She says, "Hey ho, me again. Alas, no voicemail since I still haven't got a recording program for Linux. Audacity. Leonie, audacity. Listen to show 73 whilst ironing work clothes. It proved to be the ideal distraction during an otherwise boring task. Was interested by the fact you mentioned that you can't get on with Terry Pratchett's novels. Well, neither can I. I read one, Equal Rights, and didn't feel compelled to read any more, although my other half claims that I read the wrong one and thinks I should try him again. As to the novelists who don't end novels well, I think Anne Tyler is an excellent example of that." You've got some Anne Tyler books, haven't you, love?
Who, sorry?
Anne Tyler. Was it Anne McCaffrey you've...
No,
Anne Rice?
I've read Anne Rice, but I don't own any.
Oh, okay, fine, sorry. Sorry, Leonie. She continues, "She writes really good stories, but her endings are always rushed and far too loose to be satisfactory. By the way, notice you start pronouncing Doncaster with a more open A, which I presume she means Doncaster rather than Doncaster."
You are becoming a little bit northern, dear.
I don't think I've ever referred to Doncaster as Doncaster.
Don't know, but Cara and Amy have been overpronouncing their A's like a southern softy today.
Like
the stairs, please.
Who lives in a house like this?
Yes.
Sorry again, Leonie. She says, "Do I detect the beginnings of a northern accent there?" Well, probably. It's only a matter of time.
At least it's a natural northern accent, not the one that he puts on, because the one that he puts on tends to be a little bit...
Which one? The Mancunian? Aye. Going to run, whip it up on some more.
Yes, dear.
Yes. And on that bombshell, or for now, your regularly irregular correspondent. You can get tablets for that.
Leonie, I was about to say that.
Leonie, who's at 10 East Cambridgeshire. Leonie, thank you for the email. That comment wasn't actually on her email. I just threw that one in. Oh, fantastic. And we've also had an email from Andrew, who is one of the guys that I work with in the office. And he says, "Hi, mate, listen to episode 70 today. Yeah, I know I'm behind again with the shows, and was quite interested in the whole Beware of Bikes section. Prior to last year, I may have totally agreed with you. However, my brother was riding his bike down the A38 last year. He was in the right-hand lane when a car driver pulled into him, forcing him into the central reservation, which landed him in hospital. Since then, he has had to take time off work and still doesn't have full control of his arm, which has affected his job. The car driver, whose fault it was protected by the surrounding metal and probably only suffered very minor injuries and was probably back at work within days, if not the next day. To add insult to injury, he tried to blame my brother and say it was his fault. I think it's quite easy for both parties to blame each other, and prior to the above incident, I probably would have fell into the same category. The truth is, I believe, is... that there are good and bad drivers of both cars and bikes, and unfortunately it's never the person that is driving recklessly that comes off the worst."
I'd agree with that.
Yeah, I think that's a very good statement. Just following on from the whole conversation that we had on episode 70, whilst I was always trying to make the point in favour of... Sorry, I wasn't trying to make the point in favour of anybody, I was trying to question whether it's the bikes we need to be careful of, and do you know, I've completely lost my train of thought because the bloody telly's on.
I'm sorry.
You have to watch Big Brother, don't you? She's got Big Brother on with the subtitles, with the sound just slightly up, and all I can see are these big wobbly boobs on the screen.
That's yours, darling. Well, oh, on the screen, sorry.
Eh?
I thought you were looking...
You're on about my boobs? Oh, dear. This is where it all falls down. Well,
I promise you next week I won't watch Big Brother.
No, because he's not on anymore. It finishes in about, I don't know, 7 minutes or something stupid. Anyway, yes, so thank you very much indeed, Andrew. I appreciate you feeding back on that one. And also, I would say to other people, if you are behind by a number of episodes and you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't know whether I should send feedback now because the moment's passed, don't. Just send the feedback in. I appreciate everything that you send through. And I think up to now, I don't think I've not read out any feedback that I've received. So there's a lot of double negatives in that, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I was eating.
Sorry, you were eating. I shouldn't have drawn attention to you like that. Anyway, thank you very much indeed to both Leonie and Andrew, and also to John for his feedback earlier on regarding the computer games. Right, next week, episode 75 of the Bugcast will be broadcast live on Friday the 11th of September at 9 p.m. in the Bugcast chat room, which you can find at thebugcast.org/live. Don't forget, you can also send feedback to feedback@thebugcast.org. You can send text and audio messages, and as I say, if you send me something through, the chances are it will get read out, unless you tell me otherwise. You can also visit the website at www.thebugcast.org for more information about the show and the artists played. You look like you're trying to say something.
I would like to interrupt slightly. In case anybody doesn't know, because he did post to his journal earlier, it's Dave's birthday on Sunday, so I think we should sing Happy Birthday.
You can't.
Oh, I can't, can I?
If this is going to be a pod-safe show, you cannot sing Happy Birthday to me.
Miserable birthday to you.
I think the music might be copyrighted as well. But
well,
I appreciate...
I would like to say the words Happy Birthday to
you
Dave.
Can't. Yeah, they're fine. Yeah, no, I appreciate the sentiment. Thank
I
you very much.
I will sing it.
Yes, I will be 37 on Sunday.
He tells me he's 37. I think he's going to be 50. No, I'm joking. I'm joking.
50. You are joshing. Right. Okay. That's about it then. Thank you very much indeed for listening. Thank you to everybody who's in the chat room at the moment. And also, if you're listening on the podcast version, as I always say, it doesn't matter whether you're listening live or you're listening recorded. It's always good to know that you're listening. Thank you very much indeed to Caroline, my lovely wife, for co-hosting and being the usual very valuable role of assistant producer to the show. And to play us out,
we've got Chris Kirby, Lift This Fog. It's from his album named Vampire Hotel. The 26-year-old began playing in a string of bands, but in 2006 he released an album, Chris Kirby on Rum and Religion, and went solo. Although, even though he's a solo act, on tape and on stage he's joined by his A-list rhythm section known as The Marquee. Together they've performed in many events and festivals. And just a little tidbit here for you, for Mark Marshall who's listening, one of the Marquee, the drummer in fact, is called Mark Marshall. Though a little bit of digging, it wasn't you. And if it was you, then I do apologise, but he didn't look like you.
See, I don't believe you. I don't believe there could be two Mark Marshalls.
And Mark Marshall's website says he does play the drums occasionally.
He does, yes. Yes. He and I have even had a conversation about drum playing.
Can they have the same hairstyle?
Well, as in none.
Yes.
Well, no. Give Mark his due. He does have a ponytail.
Yes. Indeed. But I don't believe it's the same Mark Marshall, but if it is, I do apologise.
Well, I'm sure he'll come back to us and let us.
But Mark Marshall's obviously a wonderful name.
Clearly. Okay, so to play us out, this is Chris Kirby and Lift This Fog. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye. Yeah.